What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Perfect Day Show, hosted by AJ Cruz, the owner of Buttoned Up, a wedding production company based in the Midwest who, with the help of his team, works with couples all over the U.S. in documenting the biggest day of their lives. Now, every Monday, we bring you a new episode tearing down the veil and diving deep into what makes a great business tick, as well as sharing the thoughts and experiences of great business leaders both within and outside of the wedding industry. So without further ado, let's get started. What's up, guys? AJ Cruz here with Buttoned Up, your host of the Perfect Day Show. If you heard the intro, if you heard the new intro song, I think we mentioned it in the pilot episode. That is something that I'm very proud of. That was actually, what's funny is that song was the first song and the only song I listened to when I was looking for music for like the intro.
You just knew it was the one.
It was weird. Like, I opened it up and I was like, I was a little nervous when I opened up. I use MusicBed. So if you're a videographer, that's what we use. But I opened up MusicBed and I was like, all right. Like, I had the idea to start the podcast back up last Wednesday. I was hanging out with my buddy Keaton and he was like, I want to start a podcast. And I was like, well, I have a podcast, so I might as well just like do it again, you know, especially if my boys are doing it. I'll tell you guys who the guest is here in just a second. All right. Let me just kind of get my scroll.
Brain. I'm bad at introductions too. I'm horrible at introductions.
But no, I just opened up MusicBed and I saw the song and I heard it and it was like this orchestrated. I mean, you guys heard the intro song, but it was like this orchestrated. If you're my cat, by the way, in the background, he wants to be a part of the podcast. But I heard the song and I was like really hyped about it. And I just immediately, like, it just spoke to me. And I was like, I love funky, kind of grungy, like orchestrated type music. Like, I just love that. I don't know if that's the right way to.
So what genre did you search? What was your search?
Nothing. I literally,
it was just like the first thing that popped up.
I literally opened the software and like you can click, there's a section to search for songs. And so when you click it, it gives you like this preset playlist of music that you can just like it's like new release music basically. So it's like, hey, here's the top releases. It was the first song on the playlist and I clicked and I was like, oh, that sounds like a cool name. Clicked it and I was like, dude, this is the podcast intro song. Like, this has to be it. So I like literally within an hour and a half, I wrote the script, recorded it, and then I sent it to you. Well, I called you on Instagram because I don't have an iPhone.
Yeah, because you're the first person that's ever called me on Instagram.
Guilt.
I hardly even use Instagram. I was like, AJ's calling me through something.
Oh yeah, I'm guilty. I'm a guilty Android user. My fiance says I need to switch to iPhone. Everyone who uses an iPhone says I need to switch to iPhone. But like, I'm a dedicated like mix between Dell, iMac, Google Pixel.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. So yeah, that was where the intro song came from. I thought it was really cool. But anyway, guys, I'm super excited to start the podcast back up. Like you heard in the intro, I want this podcast to be more of like an open format. It's part of the reason I mentioned in the pilot episode that I kind of got burnt out, you know, doing the Perfect Day Show was, I was talking to a lot of people in the wedding industry, and I love the wedding industry, but I also love just having like really good, genuine conversations about things that I want to talk about.
For sure.
Right. And so, in the intro, I just choked my own spit. In the intro, I mentioned that I want to talk to like business leaders and kind of like thought leaders both within and outside of the wedding industry. And my guest today is somebody that I've, over the past, 3 years now that we've been in business, it'll be 3 years in October, I have gotten close to, I've learned a lot from. He's become a good buddy of mine. We've done quite a few weddings together and he's a rock star in his field. So he owns a company. It's called, I mean, of course he owns a company because what else would he do, right? What? No, he lifts, he does curls, he's got big ass biceps now. Jesse Swanson, he owns DJ Chaos. What's up, buddy? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here, glad to be back. You know, we had a lot of fun on the old podcast. I'll never forget the day that I met you. I met you at a wedding and just the way you carried yourself and the way you worked, it was like, how have I never worked with this guy before? Like, he's professional. He's been around the block, I guarantee. And come to find out, that was one of the first weddings you did. And that was just totally crazy to me that you were this young kid, one of your first weddings, and you came off to me like a professional that had been doing it for 10 years. So I'll never forget that. And that kind of just attracted me to you as a friend. You know, you could see your passion and your drive and everything, and that's kind of what made us click.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we have a lot in common. Our businesses, like our business models, like we've talked about this plenty of times before, but like our business models, the structures are relatively the same. We both run multi-ops. We both have team members that work for us. We both love making the best day of couples' lives, right? You've gotten really into fitness, and like you started your fitness journey last July, right? And so that was something that you've really dove into, which I'm really proud of you for that. If you guys don't know, I used to be a gym rat, and then I found pizza rolls is what I always tell people.
Hey, I still like pizza rolls. Don't get me wrong.
But I just want to kind of like, I want to kind of start off easy just because, you know, we haven't had a chance to really dive into too many things. You know, we've both been really busy with the wedding season. And then during the off season, you know, it's kind of that break for, and I can guarantee most wedding professionals can probably relate to this, but it's kind of that time where, you know, you get to really take a step back and just like focus back on yourself. In fact, focus back on family and with friends, and just kind of take that downtime to reset. So that way the next season you can go into it and really deliver on a good experience for the next couples to come that following year. Right. But like I said, you dove into, you didn't really dive in. You said, like, we were talking before the podcast and you said that one day you woke up last July and like something had just kind of like essentially switched, right? Like you just made this flip. And then you just started going to the gym. Like you quit drinking energy drinks, right?
Yep.
And like, if you guys look at our old podcast, like, not, I mean, not the old podcast, but if you go back on like, go to YouTube, type in buttoned up weddings and events, and you can go see some like really short snippets that we posted up from December of 2020 when Jesse and I first like really sat down and had a conversation like this. And like, if you look at them now, like we have this camera, I'll have to go back and hit record, but like, you look great, dude. Like you do, you look great. Like you look like your mental is like super clear. You've got the,
you know, focus. That's the thing that I tell everybody, that they see what's on the outside.
Yeah.
They see the physical changes, weight loss, muscles, all that stuff, you know, but it's really, the switch that flipped for me, it was all mental. It was all about, you know, it's just time to be better. It's time to have more energy. It's time to be a better dad, a better boss, a better business owner. And yeah, fitness and health and mental health and everything went right along with that. So everything you see on the outside, there's about 10 times more happening on the inside that's, you know, I can't even explain in the last 8 months all the positivity that's come into my life just because of a mindset. You know, it's just who you surround yourself with, how you go into situations, how you deal with situations. And I was in a rough spot for about a year, you know, went through a separation of a relationship and some different things. And I just pulled myself out of it.
Yeah.
And really, I turned 40 here, I don't know, a few weeks ago.
You were in Vegas, weren't you?
Always in Vegas. Always on my birthday. In Vegas.
When that sun come, when we come back around that sun, Vegas.
Always in Vegas on my birthday. It just happens that the biggest DJ conference of the year falls on my birthday, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
But yeah, just I'm in the best shape of my life, the best mental space of my life. 40 years old, and I'm just ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I love that for you, man. I love that, and like, I think so. You go to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm.
Ready. Do you take a rest day at all? Like, do you rest? Like,
so I'm at that point. It, like, my TikTok, if I scroll TikTok, it's all gym stuff.
Yeah.
And they say, I see this one that's all the time, and he says, "We're not the same."
Mm-hmm.
You, how's it worded? You have to, like, work yourself up to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I have to work myself up to take a day off.
Yeah.
So like, if I take a day off, it, I don't know, I've adjusted my time management a lot. I've dedicated, you know, this is just something in my life now. And if it doesn't happen that day, it's like brushing your teeth. It just doesn't feel right.
It's like who you, it's ingrained almost into who you are. Like, it's who you are now.
Yeah. Right? And
it's not just something.
I'm really blessed with what I do for a living.
Yeah.
My schedule, everything like that. There's a lot of people that are working 9 to 5s or even more that, and then they have kids and families, and it's really hard to make time to do that. So I am really blessed with the fact that I can get up and go to the gym at 10 in the morning, get off out of the gym at noon, go home, do 3 hours of office work, go get the kids from school. So my time frame, I know I'm really lucky to have the time schedule that I have.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's also like a testament to, I mean, what, like over a decade in the making of like being an entrepreneur, starting your business, like putting the things in place to be able to like build that life where you have that flexibility to do that, right? But like, I mean, this, I mean, going to the gym wasn't something that you did all the time. It, like I said, from just having this conversation with you in these past like 10, 15 minutes, I can already tell that like for you, going to the gym isn't necessarily, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like for you, going to the gym isn't necessarily something that you do. It's just something that you are now. It's more of an identity shift, right? And I just started reading this book, which a lot of people will probably shit on me for, because they'll probably be like, why haven't you read this book sooner? Like, this is, I feel like it's a building block for a lot of entrepreneurs, and not just entrepreneurs, but people who want to better their lives. But the book's called Atomic Habits. Have you heard of that book?
I haven't, no.
So it's by a guy named James Clear. I just started reading it, but like it's just a goldmine through and through. And one of the things that he said when it comes to shifting your habits, because I know a lot of people follow your journey. Like, we're friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're friends, obviously, I hope, in real life, unless you're just fucking bullshitting me right now.
I just come over here just to visit your dog and cat, and that's it.
My dog and cat are pretty cool. But no, you have a lot of people that follow you on social media that, as you've gone through like your fitness journey, and we can dive more into your business life too, but like, as you've gone throughout your business journey, you've had a lot of people like show a lot of support, and I'm sure you probably have maybe had haters too, right? But a lot of people, I mean, they it comes with the territory, right?
I honestly love it. I think you don't know you're successful until you have haters.
Yeah, right?
If you don't have haters,
yeah,
try harder.
100%.
Like, you can't please everybody. And if you do, you're not pleasing yourself.
Yeah. So. You have to like die to the opinion of others, right? Which, I mean, Alex Hormozi says that all the time.
Most of the time, the haters are people that want to be where you're at.
Yeah.
Or don't want you to succeed.
Yeah.
Like, the people that support you, the friends, they motivate you, they help you, they inspire you. And that's really, I post a lot of side-by-side pictures of where I started my journey to where I am now. And every single time I do that, I get inbox messages of people saying, yo, what's your diet? What are you doing? I want to get started. You know, that's why I post it. I don't care how I look. I don't need like an ego boost of, hey, you look great. I post it because I want people to see like it's possible.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really not as hard as people make it out to be, but I've tried to go on diets multiple times, but it came back to, I didn't want it bad enough at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I woke up that one day and all of a sudden, it was just like laser focused. I'm ready to be a better person.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And like, so where I was kind of going with that too, was just, you know, with the people that you follow, that follow you and that have been following your journey, like you get comments underneath saying like, how did you do that? Like, I love that for you. Yada, yada, yada. Right. And so there might be some people out there who, are wondering like, how do you get started? How do you get started embedding yourself, whether that's physically or mentally or in your business or whatever that is. And in this book, it's really interesting. So a really cool mindset shift that I had. So something that I feel like I used to struggle with that maybe I'm not struggling with as much anymore, because I'm trying to pick the words that I'm using to identify myself so that way I don't speak ill over myself. But something that I struggled with in the past was like waking up early, right? Like that was something that I feel like I did struggle with. And every now and again, I do slip up. But I mean, this morning I woke up at, I think it was like 6:30, and I was just like, felt great. I got like what I wanted to get done. I went to the dentist. My teeth are hurting really bad right now. I haven't said anything about that yet. My mouth hurts like crazy. But what I was saying was, in this book, Atomic Habits, what he says is there's three ways that you can really shift your habits. The two that stood out to me was he said either one, your goal has to be like really strong. So like, you're doing, so he said that there's a difference. So take like smoking, for example. This is the example that they use in the book, right? Two kinds of people. There's two kinds of people that say two different things whenever it comes to smoking if they get offered a cigarette, right? So somebody gets offered a cigarette who's trying to quit smoking. They say, oh, no, sorry, I'm trying to quit smoking. But they're still identifying technically as a smoker, but just somebody who's trying to quit, right? The other person gets offered a cigarette and says, oh, sorry, I don't smoke. And in the book, it says that it's a very slight difference, but the person who says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't smoke, actually had the identity shift and not being a smoker anymore, which helps them change their habits. And from what I see from you is that you are now somebody who, you're not somebody who is trying to lose weight. You are somebody who goes to the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's really it. And it was like that identity shift. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like, that's what I see. And that's what I would say to a lot of people like listening to this and who, you know, follow Jesse's journey or who are listening to this podcast, who maybe want to make a change in something else, is having that identity shift is probably the most important part. And it's something that has helped me as well, in different facets, not just like waking up early, but like with really anything that I wanted to do. Right. Like, I believed I was a big business before I even broke, you know, six figures, right? Like, that was one of the things. I could have been making 20K or whatever it was, but like, I always carried myself and I never said I'm buttoned up. It's always, we are buttoned up. What can we do for you? How can we help document your day? Even when I only had two people on my team.
Sure.
And it's like that identity shift has what I believe has gotten us to where we're at today and where I believe will carry us into the near and distant future. What do you have to think? What do you have to say on that?
Well, the identity shift thing, you know, I never even thought about it like that until you really just brought it up.
Yeah.
And if I did go into it as far as I'm going to go to the gym 5 days this week,
yeah,
then it would turn into a chore of me counting the days and saying, okay, I went day four, I have to go day five. And I don't think of it like that at all. I just think of it as tomorrow's 10 a.m. I'll be at the gym. What am I going to do after that? So it really, that is part of that mindset I woke up with, was this is just what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's not what I have to do. It's just what I'm doing.
Yeah.
When it comes to business, you know, it's really the same thing. It's, you know, a $20,000 business when you go from zero is a big business, but what's your goals? Where do you want to be? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be $1 million business? Do you want to be $1 billion? Like, mm-hmm. what's big to you?
Yeah.
When I was making $350 a week doing what I enjoy, I was happy.
Yeah.
I was thrilled the fact that I was starting to pay some of my bills by just playing music for people and having fun.
Yeah.
If I went back there now, like, I'd be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it all goes into just your personal views, where you want to be, and how much of you're going to put into it.
Yeah.
You know, I've said all the time, all the MLM programs, you know, mm-hmm. Mary Kay and all these things, every one of those you can get rich doing.
Yeah.
If you put 110% into
it. Yeah.
Most people just think they can dive in and get rich real quick, just like what we do. They think they can buy a laptop and a pair of speakers or a camera and be like, I'm going to have a badass business.
Yeah.
And they don't know what we do behind the scenes or how long it took to get there. Or, you know, I've seen you on stressful days, or I've gotten phone calls from you saying, damn, dude, like, I'm really stressed out. This is happening. Mm-hmm. They don't see those things.
Yeah.
They don't see the tension at home sometimes, or the schedules we have to do, or us getting home at 4 a.m. and getting back up at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're getting where we're going, you know, and we're not even there yet. We talked before, like, yeah, my business is doing great. We've got, you know, 10 employees and this and that. We're doing like 250 weddings a year, but I've got mentors that are doing 10 times what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I still, and I think that goes back to those haters too, is if you're always looking down on people, like, that's where you're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up at people, they're going to pull you up and you're going to aspire to be where they're at. So those haters, they're never going to grow. They're never going to go anywhere. They're always going to stay right where they're at, because all they're trying to do is pull people to their level.
Yeah.
And they're not growing.
Yeah.
Where I'm surrounding myself with those people that are 10 times where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only way is up.
Yeah.
You can't go down if you're just looking up at these people.
Yeah. 100%. I like what you said too about, you know, it's important to understand kind of what your goals are for the business. Do you want to be a $100,000 business, $500,000 business, $250,000 business, $1 million business, like whatever it is that you want to do? Do you want to be an independent photographer, videographer, DJ, caterer? Do you want to be a multi-op? Like, it really doesn't matter what you want to do. It's just really it's important to dive into and really like get an understanding of like, where do you want to be? What's the thing that's going to make you happy? what's going to get you into that situation that you want to be in, right?
And it's not just money either. You know, the goals aren't always financially driven. Yeah. One of my biggest goals with my business, honestly, is just to stay passionate and happy doing what I'm doing. When I lose that passion and happiness and it becomes a job, I might as well go back to a 9-to-5 because I'm going to hate it. My energy is not going to be there for the people. It's not going to be there for my employees. So the passion and the energy to me is way more important than any amount of money. Mm-hmm. The money drives my business.
Yeah.
But I do it because it makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're in business, you have to make money, right? Like you have to make a profit to pay your people and to pay your bills. But also, I mean, there are some people that I think operate off of that. And like, that is really the only reason why they're in business. And like, I think that's okay because of the fact that like, sometimes that's, I mean, if that's why they get into business and like, if that's the thing that's driving them and that's what's bringing their success, great, good for you. But I also believe that like, there's a flip side to that, which I think you and I can relate on, where like the passion side of things also plays a huge role into it. Right.
And you can go back to, like I said, that MLM stuff.
Yeah.
You don't dive into selling makeup because you're passionate about it. No. You dove into that because you saw a quick buck and you wanted to make a quick buck.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of those people are going to fail because they went into it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start a business or if you already started a business, check that passion level.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to drive you. It's not how many clients you have. It's not how good you are at what you do. It's how passionate you are about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going into like the busiest season of our lives. I mean, essentially, like, I mean, for at least for us, like we're seeing a huge influx of weddings and this will be, I mean, every year has been the biggest season, but I think after COVID, like it's just ramping up. Like we're going through a recession and like our business is still growing, which is a beautiful sign. Right. And so like for, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Cause I also need to go jump and restart the camera here, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. So there's a lot of people out there who maybe they're in the phase of trying to go full time with weddings or just full time in business in general, but we're going to talk specifically about the wedding industry. And for you, Jesse, like you've been doing this over a decade now, right? Like you've been going at it for
damn near 2 decades.
Yeah. Damn near 2 decades. What advice would you give to anyone listening who just really wants to go, like wants weddings or wants to go full time in their business? Now I'm just saying full time. Don't put a monetary value to it because that might be different for different people, right? It's different for you and me. It's different for anyone else.
That's one of the big situations of going full-time is replacing your current income. You know, we all have bills to pay, like we said. So if you can't replace your current income, you can't quit your job because you can't grow a business if you're broke and behind on bills and homeless and everything like that. So, there's not necessarily a monetary amount that you have to make, but that's the scary part about going full time is the fact that you do have to make that money. But as far as going full time, it's getting past that fear. I know business owners that are making $100,000 a year at their business, still holding themselves at that 9-to-5 because they can't get over that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can live on $100,000 a year. If you can't, you're not doing something right.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's scary. We're in a business of tomorrow's never promised.
Yeah.
It could all collapse and it could all end tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, something could happen. There's cancel culture. There's all kinds of weird stuff in this world that can take us down in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
COVID. I mean, look what happened with COVID. We basically got wind the entire events industry was shut down and everybody just said, crap, like we have no idea. It could be a year. Yeah. It could be 2 years.
Sorry.
Not many people have enough money in the bank account to last them a couple years, you know, a couple months. Yeah. But we're talking, if I can't have business for a couple of years, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So it's just, and that's what drives me every single day is that tomorrow's not promised.
Yeah.
So that's, I think a lot of people get comfortable too where they're at and you can't get too comfortable. You always have to be hungry for more. You always have to be booking those weddings and finding those clients and working on increasing your value.
Yeah.
You know, because not just more jobs, but what can make you more valuable, mm-hmm. therefore bring in more money.
Yeah.
Then maybe you don't have to work as many days out of the year.
Yeah.
You might have to work a little harder to increase that value, but you know, that's, I think the fear mm-hmm. is the number one thing that people can't get over to go full time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you said something. So I just want to kind of pivot because I have some thoughts on this, and I think my buddy Landon, I mean, my business partner Landon, he's also my buddy. But you know, Landon, so mm-hmm. you did Landon and Megan's wedding.
Yeah.
Landon and I had this conversation, and one of the things I love about, specifically like my niche, right? So like videography, photography, for those of you guys listening who do videography or photography. The beautiful part about our industry is that we have virtually no overhead, like virtually none, except for ourselves, if you're an independent person, or our team, if that, I mean, but outside of that, like virtually none. And so when it comes to like COVID, right, you know, in an industry where, and this is just a side thought, but like in an industry where literally like if you, a cough could shut down our entire industry. Being cash rich is actually something that, you know, and Landon will probably agree to this, is like something that is such a big deal, is, you know, making sure that you're not, I mean, this is a super common concept, but like not spending more than you make, right? Like taking a fair distribution, taking a fair salary based on your guys's, like your income, and then stacking up the cash in the account. Because not only does that give you security, I'm not a financial professional by any means, but it's been working pretty decent. But like, not only does it give you financial security, but it also gives you the ability to grow. It gives you the ability to pay for more team members. It gives you the ability to pay for marketing. It gives you the ability to pay for bridal shows. It gives you a lot of flexibility. And so like, especially in those early years, when it comes to going full time, you know, I think I might've made, maybe I feel like I might've jumped ship a little bit early. I kind of burned the bridges. But like it helped me because it helped me, really like dive into making this work or making it not work. I also knew that I could always go back to a job if it didn't work out, which is
sure.
Something that I feel like maybe a lot of people need to hear, is that you really have nothing to lose, especially if you're in your 20 or your 30s. If you don't have kids, like if you still live with your parents, like there's no reason to not just try it. Like just quit your job and try it. Cause like worst comes to worst, like always think about like worst case scenario. For me, it was, I don't make it work. I don't make enough money. And then I can go work a job and make whatever, and then just try again, just stack up the cash and try again. Cause I don't have kids. That's kind of what I would say to that. But with, what I was saying on, you know, stacking up the cash and being cash rich is, you know, in that first year, first 2 years, I didn't take any salary like at all for myself. Like, and even in the second year, I didn't take anything. I just stacked every wedding we did. I just stacked it up and stacked it up. And the only expenses I paid were my half of rent and then to pay my contractors. That was it. Or to pay my team, you know, that was it. That was all I spent.
The discipline that it takes,
and it sucks,
to do that.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have the discipline to do that,
yeah.
I mean, knowing what a videographer makes to see that check and to stick it in the bank and not spend it, to yeah. not go on vacation, to not buy a new car, yeah. you know, that's very impressive. And I don't know if people know your age or anything, but you're young. So
I'm 12. I'm 24. I'll be 25 in July.
To have the discipline at your age, you know, and that was what, 3 years ago? So 21, yeah. 22 years old.
Yeah.
To see like a, let's just throw out a random number, to see a $3,000 check come in.
Yeah.
Put it in the bank and not spend it.
Yeah.
When I was 21 years old, there's no way that would happen.
Yeah.
Like I would have been out partying. I yeah. would have been doing something with that money. So that's incredible advice. It's way harder than what it's going to sound like.
Yeah. It's harder said than, or it's harder. Said
so, if you can take that advice, take it and run with it, and, yeah. and just eat breadcrumbs, live like you're poor, yeah. even if you're not.
Yeah. And it's delayed gratification is all it is. It's like, that was kind of my mindset. I questioned it at times, especially when I was doing it. Cause it was like, gosh, like I'm struggling to pay rent and I'm struggling to help. Like Emma helped support a ton, and she was helping pay like for groceries, and she was doing a bunch. And especially in that first year and a half. Mm-hmm. And like when I when our business like started to finally grow and we started making the relationships that we did and we started bringing on the team member, I still really didn't take that much money. And it was tough. And I always thought I was broke. And I always felt like I was broke, even though I was sitting on, you know, an entire year's worth of weddings, mm-hmm. right? But it really helped, especially coming into 2023 with our growth. You know, it's really helped because now we can bring on more team members and now we can do that. And I have so much, just so much security in knowing that, like, if we have another pandemic, like, quite frankly, we're set. Like, we're fine. Like, we'll be fine for a while, you know?
See, and that's a conversation I have with DJs all the time, especially local DJs. When it, you know, so my business, I invest a lot back into my business.
Yeah.
One, I love toys. But two, I'm all about the luxury brand and the bougie and the fancy things.
Yeah.
We're in the wedding industry. People want fancy. They don't just want a pair of speakers and somebody to show up and play music. They want us to look nice. They want us to sound nice.
Carry yourself as a professional, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a totally different conversation, you know, building like a luxury brand and stuff. But I have this conversation with these DJs and they have a speaker below. They don't have enough money to replace a speaker, mm-hmm. or they'll message me and they'll be like, oh, it must be nice to have that. I don't have the money to invest in that. Well, if you have even some sort of a business plan, it literally, you don't have to have a big drawn out business plan. Literally, if you just set up percentages,
mm-hmm.
if you just say for every wedding I do, I'm going to set aside this much money to 20%. Invest back into the business and stay firm on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you set 20% of $1,000 aside
mm-hmm.
in a month, you have $800.
Yeah.
There's your speaker.
Yeah.
In a year, you have a ton of money. In 3 years, you're growing this business like crazy just from putting 20% of your money back into the business. Like every business in the world, every successful business has to reinvest. You can't just buy this starter equipment, go out and say, I'm making money.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed.
Yeah. I'm the best
when something fails.
I'm the best. Yeah. I'm the best photographer. Look at all my like amazing camera gear when like you burnt everything that you have on, you know, something that, I mean, you might need. You might not need, but it's like, I heard one of my mentors said, and I'll always remember this. He said, you should always build up your war chest, right? Always build up your war chest because at some point you'll need to go to battle, whether that's getting the best new gear, whether that's paying for your contractors, whether that's getting through a pandemic, like build up your war chest. Like, don't be flashy about it. Just build up your war chest and be ready for battle.
Cause yeah, that's I like what it, that.
Yeah. Isn't that like, I love that. That always stuck with me. Cause I'm just like, yeah, dude. Like, cash is king, and, like, dude, it gives you so much, like, not to sound like a freaking, like a psycho, like, power trip right now, but, like, it gives you power is what it does. It really does. Because, well, like...
And leverage.
And leverage, yeah. It gives you power and leverage because, like, you have the ability to go get new equipment. If you need to go get new equipment to get ahead of the competition, you have the ability to pay for advertising if you want to get gigs.
And, like, I mean, think of it from a client's standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay, you go take your car in to get a tire changed.
Yeah.
Their tool that they use to change your tire breaks in the middle of changing your tire.
Yeah.
They don't have enough money in the bank to buy the new tool. So now your car is sitting there with no tire on it, and you go to pick it up, and they say, I'm sorry, we can't do anything.
Sorry.
You'd be like, what kind of business do you run?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean you can't do? It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's no... If you say you own a business, that's the thing. We're in an industry where a lot of people say they're business owners and they're just people with cameras mm-hmm. or DJ equipment. Mm-hmm. There's so much business knowledge that needs put into this industry because there's such a broad spectrum of amateurs to professionals.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta have that discipline. You gotta have even the sloppiest business plan in the world is better than no business plan. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you just put on paper percentages in 5 minutes, boom, then just stick to it.
Yeah.
That's a business plan. Like, it's not very good, but it's a really good start, and it's better than just going to this gig, taking this money and going on vacation with it. And then you have no money to show for it.
I love that. I love that. And I like, I have so many thoughts on this too. Like, when it comes, so like you said, having a business plan, and honestly, I think a huge part of that just plays into like having, like just having a direction of what you want to go. Like, and so two parts, we'll talk about that. And then I also, we had a conversation about, like, you know, going full time, but a part of that is also making sure that you can book the weddings. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you booked like a lot of events in literally like a week, right? Like a bunch of events in a week. Can I ask you, are you okay with sharing the numbers? Can I ask you how many events are you scheduled? Well, let me ask this. How many events did you do last year?
Last year we hit 250.
Was that your
weddings? Geez,
was that your biggest year?
Last year I think was our biggest year. 200 and that's not counting, like, we're sponsors for off at Air Force Base. We do 8 to 10 events out there a year. Like, I don't count those little open houses, and that's not the amount of events we went through.
Yeah.
That's the amount of weddings we did.
250?
I personally know I did 76.
Holy smokes. And how many people do you have on your team?
So DJ-wise, we have 6 of us.
Dude.
And about to have 7. We got one in training for 7. And then we have our photo booth side. It does a lot of business. It could do a lot more. It goes back to that passion thing.
Yeah.
I'm much more passionate about DJing. I love the photo booths. They're cool. If I got somebody on my team that was much more passionate about it to just run that side, mm-hmm. I think that would be a very smart thing for me to do.
Yeah, dude. Man, so... there are people out there who maybe they're not doing as many weddings as they want to do. Or maybe they're not booking as many weddings a week or a month or whatever. What advice would you give to helping them maybe just get a little bit of a jump start? Because one of the things that I've learned is that you can give as much advice as you want, but if somebody's not willing to pull the trigger on the advice and actually implement it, it doesn't really do them anything. But for those people out there who are listening who... you know, they're like, I have 10 weddings booked for this year, or I have 5 weddings booked for this year, whether you're whatever in like niche you're in, what advice would you give them to get more weddings? What advice do you give to them to, you know, like actually get these couples to say, yes, you're the one, you're the one to document my wedding. You're the one to DJ my wedding, or I want your food at my wedding. Like, what advice would you give?
The first thing I would do is go back through the weddings you have booked and find out how they booked you. Where'd they find you?
Mm-hmm.
Did they Google you? Did they meet you at a bridal fair? Was it a referral?
Yeah.
That's very valuable information. You need to find out where your clients are finding you, where they're looking for you at. For me, I would say about 80% of our bookings come straight through our website. Our Google analytics are really high.
Mm-hmm.
We've also, our SEO is pretty good. We've won Best of Omaha 5 years in a row. We've got backlinks on a ton of, you know, venue sites and stuff that we're preferred vendor at. So we've built a lot of that
over time.
No, it's not something you can just wake up and do and say, I need all these backlinks and I need all this. So the first thing I would do is find out where you're getting those leads and focus a little more energy on whatever that funnel is, whether it's Google, whether it's referrals. If you're getting referrals, find out where they're coming from. Take them a dozen cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's super easy to do to just butter somebody up. They just made you thousands of dollars or hundreds or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Go thank them. Yeah. Like, they're doing you a solid and they're not getting anything in return.
Yeah.
And then that takes me to the second thing is relationships. The biggest success that my business found was through building relationships with other vendors. Venues, wedding planners. I get my best top-end bougie weddings from my best friends.
Yeah.
My wedding planners, my venue owners, because they know our style. They know what we do, and they know what's a good fit.
Yeah.
And I would say it's almost 100% closing rate when somebody that the client already trusts says, you need this guy.
Yeah.
They just want a contract and they just want to sign and they just want to build the best wedding team that they can.
Yeah.
So, build those relationships. If you don't know a lot of people, go to networking events, go to venues and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Anything you can do and whatever your niche is, whatever you feel your quality level, if you're entry level, if you're a photographer and you don't have a lot of experience, don't say you're this high-end professional. Don't necessarily put yourself in that category. Like, know your role and build yourself up, yeah. but network with people who are equal to your quality level. Because if you're an amateur photographer and this $20,000 venue is referring you, you're probably going to get a bad review. Like, yeah. honestly, the expectations of that client are going to be a little higher than you can,
yeah.
you can do. So if you're mid-range, go to those mid-range venues, go to mm-hmm. those mid-range vendors, surround yourself with those people, and then, you know, work yourself up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a building block almost, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. But I love the fact that it doesn't happen overnight. Like, that's the thing. It's like people will jump ship on their job thinking that, like, maybe they are a talented photographer, but the industry doesn't see you like that, you know, not right away. Like, you might be better than some of the best photographers who have been doing it for 20 years, but they don't see you like that. You've built zero authority in any way, shape, or form. You haven't built the relationships. I was talking to somebody the other day, because, like, we have a mutual person that we are preferred vendors through. And they said that the only reason that, I mean, and the person that we're both connected with at that place, said that, like, part of the reason that we were having conversations was the fact that I was so persistent and, like, bugging them and, like, just being like, set up a meeting with me. Like, let me just show you, like, what I have to offer. But, like, the other flip side of that is, yeah, I was, like, really persistent, but I also had the work, you know, and the stuff to, like, back it up. Like, I wasn't just bothering somebody.
You need that street cred.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't just bothering somebody.
You need to do the work. You need to show you can do the work.
Yeah.
So I believe the same relationship you're talking about, it's a venue that we work at a lot. I'd never been there before in my life. I booked one wedding there. I was super excited to go there. It's a cool place. I did this one wedding there. It was, you know, I can take credit for doing my job, but the fact that it was just a phenomenal wedding helped a lot. The crowd was good. The people were beautiful. Like, it was just one of those weddings that you love. And I got a call that week, like, hey, we want you to come in and sit down and talk to us. And so it wasn't that I went in and said, hey, can you refer me to weddings? Can you do this? I'm this amazing DJ. I went and showed what I could do.
Yeah.
I went and proved myself.
You provided value.
And then they called me to say, hey, you know, we like what you do. We think our clients are a good fit for you. And that's proven to be one of the best relationships I've ever gotten.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, like, you walked into that without really any huge expectations, more with just gratitude and, you know, the mindset at the forefront of being like, I'm just going to crush this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to provide value. And, you know, it just happened to turn around and be something that turned into a really big opportunity. But it wasn't something that you were necessarily looking for, was it?
I had no idea. Like, most venues I go into, I go in, I play the wedding. So it was kind of a lesson for me to realize, like, you're not just providing for the client. Yeah. Like, there's a photographer there. There's a caterer there. There's a venue there. Like, you can impress all of them.
Yeah.
And that can be continuous business.
Yeah.
Not just one client that books you. That can be, you know, multiple calls a month saying, hey, we have this client. We have this client. So that's, in essence, more valuable than just a client is an actual vendor that can refer you on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like this is a good conversation. I feel like, do you like this format for the podcast? Are you enjoying
it? I do. It's chill. It's casual. Like, we're just us. If people listen and enjoy it, that's really cool.
That was something, like I said at the beginning of this, was I just wanted to be kind of open format. Like, I have things that I enjoy talking about, and, like, for each person that I want to interview, like, there's something about them or about what they do that I find intriguing, or I feel like they can give some form of insight that would be different from mine, or maybe we can, like, pitter-patter back and forth on what our opinions are. You know, we've talked about going full-time as a wedding professional. I think that those lessons don't just apply in the wedding industry, though. I feel like, I mean, you know, just in business in general, whether you own a lawn care company or you want to do concrete or you want to do roofing or you want to get into drop shipping. I don't know anything about drop shipping.
I think you can get rich doing that, though.
I feel like there's one guy that I follow on Facebook that I'm friends with on Facebook. I don't know. I'm getting old now. I feel like I don't know the right terms, but yeah, he did something in drop shipping. I just like, I don't know. He just seems like a really cool dude. He just moved to Chicago. I would love to have him on the podcast, to be honest, because I feel like he could give some really good insight and he would just be a fun guy to talk to. But like, that's what I wanted this podcast to be, essentially. It was just an opportunity to sit down, have really good in-depth conversations. I had a few points on some things that I thought would be really fun for us to talk about. Your fitness journey was one of those. Like, I think physical fitness is something that's such an important part, and especially in today's society, I might get some flack for saying this, but like, people like shit on fitness. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, essentially, almost. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and I hope I don't get too much.
You're help. Gonna get canceled after
I'm
this.
I'm probably gonna get canceled, but it's like, I'm a huge proponent for body positivity. Huge proponent for it. But I also think like, taking care of your physical fitness doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go and get biceps as big as Jesse's. But like, taking care of yourself is a huge testament to not only your physical fitness, but like your mental and your business. Like, it, I feel like the way you take care of yourself really shines an image on your entire, like how you out, like your entire outlook on life.
And I don't think your look can necessarily reflect how you take care of yourself. Exactly. So it's not about how big or small somebody is. It's not about what their skin looks 100%.
Like. 100%.
You know, somebody can be overweight and really take good care of themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's just their body structure.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
It's more about the ritual of working out, the ritual of taking care of yourself. Right.
And
that's what I love.
Like I said about my journey, mentally, to me, is 10 times more important than the physical part.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens to be the gym is my happy place. That's where I can tune. I know I have ADHD. I know I have high anxiety.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, a lot of the same things most people have in their heads, where in today's society, our minds just go a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
The gym's the one place that slows everything down for me,
mm-hmm.
and allows me just to focus on me, enjoy life, be happy. I get out of there, I'm in a good mood. So maybe yours is ping pong or the library or
chess for me. If you can't tell by my massive chess poster right there, fucking love playing chess.
Whatever it is, like, find your happy place where you can kind of clear that mind, and the gym just happens to be it for me.
Yeah,
that's it.
100%. I just love the fact that we had an opportunity to talk about that, because, I mean, I've gotten to know you through both of your journeys now, and it's just so cool to see the strides that you've made physically and mentally since last July. Like, I've seen you make huge strides. We haven't connected a ton, but like, I've been keeping up with your journey, man, and I love talking about the wedding industry, and I love talking about business, and I just feel like, I feel like we are very similar. We're obviously very different, but we are very similar to some degree. And I feel like we share a lot of kind of the same mindset when it comes to growth and it comes to business and it comes to improving yourself. So that's really all I had. I guess I just, one last question I wanted to ask you that I really just want to like ask everybody, because I find it's really interesting, is like, what's something, this is going to be out there so you can take your time to think about it, but what's something about life or business or your mindset that you believed at one point in your life that today you no longer believe to be true?
Oh, geez.
That's a deep question, right? That was a lot.
I think, you know, and I'm, let's say, halfway through my life.
Yeah.
As you get older, as you grow and you learn lessons, your goals and where you see your life when you're 15 years old versus when you're 25 years old versus when you're 35 years old. Like, I think it continues to change. I know my mindset will change again in 5 or 10 years. So what I've learned now is, when I was younger, my priorities were one thing, and now my priorities are totally different. I'm a father, I'm a business owner. Financial stability is really important to me. Just being the sole provider for my family. So for me, right now, my priorities are, you know, happiness and just enjoying life, because life is short.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really, just as you go through life, don't expect anything to stay the same. Yeah. You're going to change. You're going to adapt. The world's going to change. Technology is going to change. So just keep an open mind and just be the best person you can be.
I love that. I love that. Well, Jesse, thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I know you got to get out of here soon. Got to go get the kids from school. Got to go be a family man. But I appreciate you being my guinea pig, especially coming up into season two and being open to come over, come check out the pad.
For sure, man. I know you got some big guests lined up to come on this thing, so I'm honored to be the first one. I know a couple you're going to have on here, so those that are tuning in, you got me first, but you got some big stuff coming up, so bookmark this or favorite it, whatever you have to do, because there's some good stuff coming.
Appreciate that, brother. Appreciate that. Yes, do exactly what he said. So one of the things I would love for you guys to do, if you've stuck around this far, I mean, how long have we been going? 52 minutes, guys. You've been listening to almost an hour-long podcast, but that's just what happens when you sit down and you have really good conversations. So if you guys are still listening up until this point, something that we would really appreciate and that I would really appreciate is if you gave this podcast a review, specifically a 5-star review. If you give it a 1-star review, I'm going to be very upset with you because this is the first episode that we're posting. So please don't do that. I'm literally begging you, but give it a 5-star review, share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, you know, support Jesse, support me, support Buttoned Up, support DJ Chaos. Because that's just the way we share this. You know, I don't think we'll probably ever monetize this channel. And if we do, I mean, I want to put it on record right now. If we do monetize this channel, we'll probably give 100% of the proceeds to a nonprofit. So,
or maybe a camera with a battery that doesn't die.
Yeah. Or maybe a can't, maybe we'll get, I could literally just need to get like direct power to it. I just don't want to go buy the $5 cable to do it. That's literally the only reason I haven't gotten the cable yet. But if you guys share this and you help us grow this show, like, you know, I just want to be able to share these conversations with people. Cause like I said in the intro, like I want to have these conversations with, you know, business and thought leaders to just share these conversations and share their experiences and their outlook on business, on life, on their mindset, and maybe help give you guys, you know, even like a little bit of a grain of value. So that way, whether you're driving home, you're taking a shit, you guys are working out, you guys are on a walk, whatever it is, don't tell me about the fourth one or the third one that I said, but whatever it is, I hope that you guys got a little bit of value from this episode. So this is the first of many for the Perfect Day Show. My name is AJ Cruz, your host, and we will see you guys in the next episode. Take it easy and peace out.